Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this Palm Sunday, the Sunday of Passion, is our Old Testament reading, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. I will read it in its fullness as we go. These are the words of the Lord, so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. It is a sad thing that we will cheer and carry on over a football game more readily, more exuberantly. That these other things are to be emulated from. Well, the very person whom every other one deserving praise is but a shadow and a copy. We only have snippets of how heaven does things. What cheering and fanfare can be only imagined with that many angels. Yet in my experience, I have found it very odd. And no one has ever given me another explanation other than what I think is going on. But why is it that kids are very willing to sing and play an instrument for school and events, but not in church? Adults too. But as you know, though, God only asks that you make a joyful noise when you pray, praise, and give thanks. This is what the Bible calls our reasonable service, and it also is called a living sacrifice. And guess what? You are all priests before God when you come in here. A priest offers sacrifice on behalf of others and himself. Now, since the full sacrifice for sin has been made, already made, there is no need for that any longer. But did you know that in the Old Testament system, those were not the only sacrifices to be given to God? There are peace offerings and thank offerings too. What do you think your gift here in the offering plate is? Yes, you are offering part of your reasonable service to God as his priest. Part of it because we do so also in word and song. Speak and sing. This is what we do in the liturgy. There are other ways too, but in the divine service, what we are doing now, God comes to us and gives us his gifts, serving us. And as we are taught to say, we say thank you, dear Lord. So that, in words, both spoken and sung, this giving, or rather offering, thanks. And then there is praise also. There is rejoicing. There is all of this in our singing and making music. I know the spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. That is why kids won't. That is why adults won't. Say thanks to God. Of course, the devil and the world don't either. That is why kids and adults find it easier to do this, to do what we are made to do. The devil and the world don't mind in any other venues and events except all but in the church. And they had rather you sing and cheer until hoarse Saturday night so that you have nothing left, energy or voice for Sunday morning. But why Sunday morning should be obvious, shouldn't it be? The gospel, of course. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Your king is not coming to demand. He does not want you to have to. He wants glad response. Joyous in all its fullness because of what he is bringing to you and me. What does he bring us? And this all our lives? Your salvation. And all that means. And all that comes with that. This is no demand. Like a tyrant demanding tribute, servitude, and the burden of high taxation. No, hear what his prophet wants us to understand him to be like. This is who he is as he comes to us, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It is really all about Christmas morning when he comes to us, as with him, it is Christmas all the time, in fact. And in truth, we have nothing to be glad about. We have no real object of praise, just as we have nothing at all unless it comes from the Christmas morning child. That has come to give his life for us so that we can have all his bounty. What he won in the spoils of battle against his and our enemies. Yes, for you, he says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. For us, he shall speak peace to the nations. Peace, finally. This is so that we can and will enjoy all that he has to give to us. Imagine being able to not have to worry about paying taxes or a thief breaking in. Imagine a world and a life where there is no war, no famine, no disasters, no violence, no want of anything. Imagine it. All the pain and sickness, all the anger and depression, all evil and hatred taken away and replaced with joy and peace and love immeasurable. Yes, Christmas in spring and summer, in all and every season, perpetually. All of this is forever. This is eternal, and his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. He will make sure of it. And this he does just for us. So there is nothing else for us to do but respond with cheering and loud rejoicing, to bring thanksgiving and praise before him, to him, for him, our great King. Yes, and to offer up ourselves as living sacrifice, just as he has and does give himself today, his living body and blood to us forever. As imperfect as it may seem to us, as we seem, as we are, he wants this. He loves this. He himself rejoices in this with us. And so as we are all bashful and embarrassed, shy and self-conscious, afraid of our own voices, just wait. On that last day, we will not be able to contain ourselves, not stop, as all will be in perfect harmony, perfect pitch and tone. But right now, well, it's just practice. It's still good and right to do always. So go ahead. Lift up your heads, your hearts and voices. Great is your King, Lord and brother. Give him thanks and praise. He is here this very day for you. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.